Stoked for our guest, the first timer. He is an ace analyst for CBS Sports, NFL, college. He is the founder of the prestigious Joe Moore Award. Playing resume, how about a two-time All-American tackle at Notre Dame, Lombardi Award winner, first-round pick of the Packers, Super Bowl champ, Hall of Famer. Welcome in Aaron Taylor. Aaron, awesome to have you. How's life treating you these days?
Well, Steve, I can't say if I had it any better, buddy. I wouldn't be able to stand myself. It's the start of college football season. I've already had a chance to go by some camps, got to work with my guys on the College Football Today and Inside College Football sets today. So it's the best time of year. It's Christmas for fat guys.
You know, I will get to college football, but I've been doing this 26 years, and whenever I get to speak with players who made MLB, NBA, I always ask, so after your amazing career winds down in South Bend, you know you're going to get drafted day one. I mean, in that class 94, Marshall Faulk, Hall of Famer. So take me back to draft day. Where are you, and what is a day like that like?
I was in my living room. I got invited to New York, but, you know, in true old lineman style, I didn't want or need the spotlight, so I just stayed at home. And I thought I was going to go fifth or sixth overall to Tampa, the Rams. But then the fifth or sixth picks came, and I didn't get drafted. And I started to do a free fall and eventually fell to 16, where the Green Bay Packers traded up with the Miami Dolphins to take me and to go block for this new hot shot quarterback named Brett Favre. And I tell you, Steve, it's interesting, man. Like, I didn't want to go to Green Bay. I didn't know much about it. I thought all my attention was going to be on these two warm weather cities of Los Angeles or Tampa. And I had had enough of the South Bend cold winters growing up in California. But it's just one of the many examples of you don't know what you don't know. Because had I been drafted 15th or 5th or 6th or 17th, even one spot different from where I would, being a Super Bowl champion and that experience of playing with Reggie and Brett and all my other great teammates, I wouldn't have had. So I think that started a long line of things for me where it just reminds you that you got to take life for what it is and as it comes, and make the best lemonade you can out of it.
You know, since you mentioned it, I got to go there. I mean, Super Bowl 31 against Parcells and the Patriots. The defense picks off Bledsoe four times. And for those not aware, an assistant line coach for you guys was a fella named Andy Reid. But what, and by the way, he's the starting left guard. You're the starting left guard for the Packers. The gun sounds, you're a Super Bowl champ. What is the emotion in that moment?
It was surreal. It was the only time in my career that we had reached the mountaintop. There was nothing else to do. It was like the moment of ascending Everest. And boy, was the view beautiful. And what was interesting is, like, you don't fall your way up the mountain. You got to work your way to get there. And I had done so with two, you know, patella tendon reconstructions that I had fought through my first 2 years. We had done that as a team, building our roster to finally be able to get past the Dallas Cowboys and the San Francisco 49ers. So when the confetti started coming down, it was like, that's it. We did it. Like, there's no next week, like, for real. And it took years, I think, for many of us for it to sink in what we had accomplished, because the further you get away from it, the more you realize just how lucky you are. And we got back the very next year and lost. And then, you know, it took them to 2010 till they were able to get back. So it just, one of the you know, preeminent best memories of my entire life, certainly on the top of the sports career, but just, we accomplished something great together, and there's no better feeling in the world than that.
Talking with Aaron Taylor, analyst for CBS Sports. Since you're a first-time guest, you got to allow me one more geek out. One of the great games of the 1990s, 1993, you probably know where I'm going. Number 2 Notre Dame hosting number 1 Florida State. Warrick Dunn, Charlie Ward, Derek Brooks. You guys roll up 240 on the ground, win it 31-24. What are your memories of that? Just legendary Saturday.
Well, it was crazy, and I'll go all the way back to the beginning of the week. Coach Holtz brought us together for our first team meeting that week. He says, "Men, I'm not going to lie. Put the tape on. This Florida State team might be the best damn team I've ever seen on tape. Their defense is as fast as my ass has ever seen." So he goes through his spiel, and that was kind of his deal, right? You know, on Monday, you couldn't beat a paper sack, and by Friday night, the last speech, you can beat the 85 Bears. But it was somber, and there was some truth and some gravity to his voice. So we break out and go to offense, and then we finally get in our offensive line room, and my O-line coach, Joe Moore, says, "You know, the little prick with glasses has a point. It's like, they are fast. You put them on tape. They got this guy, 55, he runs sideline to sidelines," talking about Derek Brooks. He's like, "Well, let's see what happens when we punch him in the bleeping mouth. Hit the lights." And that started our week. And I think it was that approach that communicated that Coach Moore believed in us, that we had a game plan, which was to nullify their speed, the physicality. And we delivered on that. To your point, 240 rush yards. Thank God that game was in South Bend. I think it would have been a really tough out for us in Tallahassee. But that was the first game of the century, maybe the best cold open that I've ever seen on television, that NBC and Bob Costas voice. It was just an incredible experience, and I've had a chance to talk to a lot of those guys on that Florida State team. They don't remember it quite as fondly, but I know Derek Brooks had a healthy respect for that game and what we did and how close they came, but we got it done, thank God. That was, without question, the pinnacle of my career there at Notre Dame.
Now, you mentioned Joe Moore, and of course, the award is relatively new. It's about a decade old. I had to learn about him, his days at Pitt, coaching greats like Mark May, Jimbo Covert. You mentioned the 85 Bears, Russ Grimm, one of the Hogs. What, Aaron, could you tell us about Jim Moore and the inspiration to create this award?
Joe Moore was the personification of what tough love looked like. Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, born and raised, blue collar, no nonsense, was a master at simplifying the complex. Steve, you'll appreciate this. Our very first meeting, he comes in and says, "I grew up in Pittsburgh. I had this car that always gets stuck in the snow." He said, "How did I push it like this?" And, you know, he's demonstrating it with his elbows out wide. He's standing up straight, and he's kind of pitter-pattering his feet. "Or did I get my pads low, get my hands inside, and drive my legs and push the car in the snow?" And that simple cue let all of us know in that moment, in 30 seconds, what it was we were trying to do. It was push a car in the snow. And the way you do that is with a tight base and tight hands and low pads, running your feet and accelerating off the football, not pitter-patting over the boards and keeping your base wide, like I think so many young coaches and players have a tendency to do. So he had a million of those different coaching points and cues, which is why he sent 52 dudes to the NFL in 18 seasons, which is almost three per year. Never had a senior start at Notre Dame that didn't at least have a cup of coffee. Like, the guy had a bad rap in certain scouting circles because they would draft his players, they'd get to the league, and many of them never got better, the lower-level guys, because he had squeezed every bit of talent out of them on the high school level, and they couldn't make him any better, which is a compliment of compliments if you understand what coaching is. So he was an incredible teacher, but beyond that, Steve, he had this innate ability to get us to be the best versions of ourselves. And when I was creating the award and I looked back, it came down to belief. First, he believed in us. Then we believed in his belief. And then finally, we believed in ourselves. And when that happened, people had problems. And the way that he developed that belief in us was through repetition, the boring, mundane stuff, over and over and over and over again. So that we did things not so that we could get it right, but so that we couldn't get it wrong. And it was that combination of getting us to be the best versions of who we were, have tremendous belief, and also extremely well-trained. It's a big reason why we kicked the dog mess out of most people we played.
That's just a great story. Talking with CBS Sports Football Analyst, College Football Hall of Famer Aaron Taylor. So We're the Duck Station. Got to get to some Oregon. They've had some tremendous offensive line in recent seasons, and I know you were very big on them last year, but some key losses this year, both tackles, their quarterback. So what's your thought on the 2025 Ducks?
Well, they got Lalo coming back, and they'll do real good if he can stay healthy right there in the middle. But Leek Terry's their offensive line coach, and he's done a remarkable job with his unit. And I just spoke with him via text a couple weeks ago, and he feels strongly that this has a chance, and it's early, a chance to be among his better units. So they're a long way from that. He knows that. He told me that explicitly, but he was speaking to their potential should they be able to come and gel together and stay healthy, which is something that was really the biggest knock on them last year, particularly towards the end. So, yeah, they have a lot to replace on the offensive and defensive lines. But, man, I got to tell you, Dan Lanning and the job that he's done, like there's a handful of coaches in college football that I'd feel comfortable having my sons play for. Dan Lanning's one of those dudes. He has earned everything that he has got, earned, not given, and he has a team that's reflective of that. So Dante Moore, the quarterback, I got to call one of his games a couple years ago against San Diego State, and he came out like, you know, like a comet. 3-0 as a starter, and you know, 7 touchdowns, 1 interceptions, and the wheels kind of fell off on the entire program, and he was kind of caught up in that. So I don't think it's going to be such a big drop from Dylan Gabriel, who for the first time in a long time is going to be an Oregon quarterback that doesn't have a lot of experience compared to Dylan and what Bo Nix brought before that. But the bones are there, and they've got some really good young talent with what they bring to the table. Dylan Thieneman comes over from Purdue at the safety position. I loved watching him. He really popped out on tape, so I texted Tosh Lupoy, who loves him. He's a stud. Tosh is a De La Salle guy. That's where I went to high school in the Bay Area. So Oregon's in a position where they can creep and not have any of the pressure on them and just handle business and be exactly where they want to be down the stretch. Their first tough out is going to be on the road at Penn State, but they are built and have the roster to do that. The Nittany Lions won't make that easy, but I think Oregon very much is built, despite their changes and new faces, to be able to defend their title and defend it valiantly.
Couple final thoughts for Aaron Taylor. Of course I'm going to ask about the Fighting Irish. Loaded in the trenches, Emil Wagner at right tackle, Jason Anye, Donovan Hinnish on a defensive line, Jeremiah Love is elite. Yeah, they've got a new quarterback, but you know the thing is, they're scheduled. They've got really one killer road trip at Miami. Marcus Freeman has just made them better each season. So how much you like your Irish shot to make a legitimate title run?
I think they're one of just a handful of teams that really has a chance to run the table. Their first tough out, obviously, against Miami to open the season. They've got the Hurricanes due, Carson Beck and a new quarterback. But the way I look at this, man, if Miami couldn't get it done last year with Cam Ward, I don't know if Carson Beck is going to make the difference. The Irish proved last year that they can go on the road away from home in South Bend, as they did against Texas A&M, and come out bloody, but come out victorious. I would expect that to be the case. They get a very well-timed and maybe the earliest bye week in all of college football in week 2, September 6th, before a home game against Texas A&M that should be improved, but that one will be in South Bend. After that, man, a very good Boise State team, an improved USC team at home, road games at Boston College, Navy, which is always something you got to pay attention to, at Pittsburgh is always something you got to pay attention to, at Stanford, holy smokes, is that something the Irish have always had to pay attention to. I learned that lesson the hard way, went 2-2 against them in my 4 years in South Bend. But I just like the grit and the resilience of this team, man. And I think to your point, you said Jeremiah Love was elite. Hell yeah, he is. You saw what he did with that run at the end of the Penn State game, with the leg brace on, not practicing all week, and just the heart determination. That's who Marcus Freeman has built this team to be, and it takes more than that to win, but that's a critical ingredient in the world of the portal that most don't have. The Irish do. You couple the talent they have with it, and boy, I got them in the national championship game against Clemson.
All right. Well, you mentioned Penn State twice. That's where I was going to finish. I'm a little confused. I think they maybe should be number one of the teams who came close last year. They bring back their quarterback. Man, they have stud backs, a great line. Maybe some concerns on the other side of the ball. We talked with their beat writer. So I guess the question is, A, can they solve the Buckeyes? And how legit are the 2025 Nittany Lions?
Man, if they can't get it done this year with this roster, I don't know what it's got to look like to get it done. It feels like a now or never situation for James Franklin, but I'll remind fans, that's where Ohio State was last year, right? And lost again for the third time in a row to Michigan, but Ryan Day pulled a rabbit out of his hat, and without question, Ohio State at the end of the year, after not winning the Big Ten, proved that they were the best team in all of college football. So the Nittany Lions are built. I got to see them up close and personal yesterday. I was at practice and spent the entire day with them. They look like a national championship caliber team. This is Franklin's best team. I would argue the best coaching staff Penn State's ever had. And they are built to win it all. So their first big test is against Oregon, obviously, on September 27th. That's a really tough road game for the Ducks. But after that, they play at Iowa, have a bye, and then have a November 1st game at Ohio State. Oof. Big game, James. If he can win against Oregon and have a chance against Ohio State on the road, probably play Ohio State or Oregon again in the conference championship game, he will forever have erased the Big Game James moniker, and I believe that Nittany Lions would be the national champs at that point. So it's going to be a fun season, man. It's top-heavy, but we've got some middle class in the Big Ten that are stepping up as well. So I think the parity that we've seen and appreciate in the NFL is starting to creep into college football, and I'm here for every minute of it.
I'll tell you, folks here are chomping at the bit. Aaron, I know you got like 8 million things going on, so I'll just say, folks, he's Aaron Taylor providing us next-level information and analysis for CBS Sports. Link all he's up to on the X platform at Aaron Taylor CFB. Greatly appreciate your time, that unique lens of yours. You be well, travel safe. Thanks a million for coming on, and I hope we can speak again as the season gets rolling.
I appreciate you, Steve. We will absolutely do that, and I want to bring your listeners' attention to August 21st for our flagship show called Trench Life, which is going to celebrate the unsung heroes in the trenches and the brotherhood that binds them. It's coming out on YouTube. Keep your eyes pressed. This will be the show that y'all have been waiting on for O-line play. It's going to be different, fun, special, and nothing like anybody's ever seen. It should be a good one, so I'll keep you posted on that too, brother. Thursday, October or August 21st.
Trench Life, you said it was?
Trench Life, baby. It's not just about the X's and O's. It's the Jimmys and the Joes in the room. So you got back hair, love handles, love barbecue, or anything about the big man brotherhood. We'll have some X's and O's, big game breakdowns. We'll cover the lines about the line play. There'll be something for everybody. We'll have some stuff on there for young high school players and coaches in terms of development, for performance enhancement in terms of mindset, but also just celebrating the history and the brotherhood of what makes our position so unique and special, which is sacrificing our own benefit and comfort for the greater good of everybody else. It's going to be a fun watch and listen, and we can't wait. We got some really good stuff coming down the pipe, and we're excited.
1 week from Thursday, looking forward to it. Again, your time to come on this show means a lot to us. You be well, and I much appreciate you joining us.
Awesome, Steve. Thank you, man. You do a great job. Hope to be on again.
You got it. Thank you very much. Take care, Aaron. Bye.